Dumpster Divas, welcome to another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet, and my sister,
Kix Hamlet. We are here to dive into the reality TV that made us, well, the garbage we are.
I know, that's right. And expect like a mix of throwback recaps as well as chats about what we are still watching today.
Tom, are you ready to get into it?
Let's go. Hi, guys. Kix is not here today. It's just me and an old friend of the pod and of me in real life. We have Spencer Glass back on the pod. Spencer, hi.
Hi. Are we officially making the announcement that I'm replacing Kix for Dumpster Dive?
You know, I would love if you were more present in the pod in general. I don't know about replacing her, but
right. Yeah, you should invite me more. Well, maybe then I'll be in the pod more.
I understand that, but you're also very busy. You're a girl about town. You had your whole summer. You had your prep for the wedding summer. You were traveling. You're now like literally nomading a beautiful life all around the United States of America. You were on your honeymoon. Like, there's a lot going on.
I'm
and I don't want to bother you.
Similar to Candy on this season of Housewives, she's busy.
She's busy. You can't quite pin her down.
You can't quite pin her down. No, I'm very, very, very happy to be here, and I miss Kix, but we're going to have fun.
We're going to have so much fun. And then before we get too far into this, if you don't follow Spencer on Instagram, that's Hi Spencer Glass, but then also remind everyone where they can follow you on TikTok, because your TikTok is really where you pop off.
Yeah, I pop off on TikTok. Don't even bother with my Instagram. I want you to just type in Spencer.Glass TikTok. Give me a follow.
Yes. And if you are an actor in the arts and you need just someone to help brighten your day, go to Spencer's TikTok. He does an amazing job of reminding artists and people out there that they are doing the good work. So.
Oh, that's like the nicest thing Tom's ever said to me. Tom, about 5 minutes ago, told me that I would never last a second at an adult summer camp. Which he's right, actually. He is right. Tom's a truth teller.
Like, I'm right. No, I went to a wedding this past weekend at this summer camp called Club Getaway. It had a show on Bravo, actually, called Camp Getaway. It premiered, like, right at the top of COVID. And the show was, like, it was essentially, like, Below Deck. It was, like, you followed the camp counselors, and then every week there was like a different batch of adult campers that were like wreaking havoc on the camp. The show was kind of weird, and it was a one season wonder, but that was the camp. It was that.
I knew somebody on that show. That's so funny.
Oh, one of the like camp counselors?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think the counselors. Yes. So the one thing I'll say about it, so the camp was really fun. I if anyone lives in the New York area, they do like weekly and things on the weekends, like you can just go and it's an all-inclusive, and they do like activities and like there's fun themed dinners. I think it would be fun to do with like a big group of friends, because you could kind of like do your own thing. Where I think I would struggle if I went to one of those weekends is if I did it just like with me and one other person, because it would involve a lot of forced communication with strangers, which I don't always handle that well. Like, you know, like cruise life, where you like you go to the dinner at like a table with other people and you have to talk to them. For a wedding, that doesn't bother me, because we're all there for like, we all have something in common at a wedding. But in the instance of like just a fun weekend, that would stress me out. Would that stress you out?
It would. It's like I gotta be in the mood. Like last night I was sitting at a bar and this guy came and sat next to me and Eitan, and I was like, don't talk to me. I was like, I'm not in the mood
right
to talk. But when I'm in the mood, holy shit, I can pop off and I can be a social butterfly, and I actually like prefer it. I think it's fun to like drunkenly meet like
sure
best friend moms on a cruise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you and I are good like partners in crime in those scenarios. So like we could make some fun friends, and then the second they walk away, laugh about them. But yeah, you're right. There are instances where it'd be fun. Some instances not. So, but if you live in the New York area, go check it out. It was really, really fun. We like just did ropes courses, but no one from the Bravo show works there anymore. I think honestly, everyone from that Bravo show just got cast on the show. Like, I don't think they actually worked there, you know?
Yes. 105%.
But I will say the one, it felt like the closest I will ever be to Below Deck, because the people that worked at the camp, they do everything. So like you'll be like on the day of the wedding, we were like doing a ropes course, and we were friendly with like two or three of them, and would be like, Connor, I've missed you. Like, we were over at this thing. We were just like chatting with different like people who worked there, and they were really nice. And I'm sure they thought we were annoying, but we thought they made it look like we were their best friends, which that's the job, I think.
No, Connor was Captain Sandy. I totally got
completely,
it.
Completely, right. And so then we go, the wedding is on the camp. So then we go and get ready, and we're at the wedding, go to the cocktail ceremony. And like, I go to this man dressed in like a tux with like a platter of like rice balls. And I'm like, thank you. And I'm like, Connor? And he's like, it's me.
You're like, Connor, you're so multifaceted that like you can help me drive a boat, but you also can serve rice balls. No, you're amazing.
I kind of legitimately said that. I was like, you've done it all today, Connor.
Those people are so cool though. Those people are just like, they're just capable folks. They can do everything. Mm-hmm. They probably don't complain. They're so cool. They're so easy. That's awesome. I wish I was that way.
Yeah. You wish you were so easy and didn't complain.
Yeah, I do.
Well, since we had planned this out for a little bit, but a lot happened in kind of like the minutes leading up to this recording. I think we just should talk about it right at the top. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to dive into all things Bravo. Spencer watches everything, essentially. At the top, we got to talk about Shannon and the DUI. So for those that don't know, if you live under a rock or you just listen to this podcast for the fun banter, Shannon Bedore got arrested for a hit and run and charged with a DUI on last Saturday night. She also, with her dog in the front seat of the car, she turns a corner, hits a house, backs up, drives iconically in. I say iconically, we should take this seriously, but this part is funny to me. Drives into the middle of an intersection, gets out of the car with her dog, and pretends that she's just walking the dog. And the police, I guess, came and found her and were like, you're not fooling anyone. Like, you're under arrest.
Yeah. The strategy also for me was a bit confusing. Like, I wish that there was camera footage of her walking the dog. Like, I want to see her face. Like, is she just like, she's like waving to neighbors like, hi, like, oh my god, it's like so good to see you, just like late night walk. Like,
I think
I'm
so
curious. It listen, this was, there's always like an every housewife franchise, there's always for each cast member, mm-hmm. there's like a warning about them. Like, each cast member has like a warning, and it's never confirmed. It's just always like hub with like the other girls. But the drinking thing was a major warning, probably for like most of her seasons.
Yeah, I mean, we always hear, she's done a pretty good job of hiding it from the camera, because we always hear the women in their confessionals are like, Shannon gets like blackout at night and calls us and tells us things. And then we bring it up on camera and then she forgets about it. Like, she's told the women so many things about her relationship. And stuff like that, and she just seemingly forgets that she ever did it, which is a big red flag.
Yeah, that that scared me this season so far. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, Heather's a lot of things. I don't find Heather to be a liar about major things, and her in her confessionals talking about the phone calls, not that I am at all certified to diagnose anybody with anything, but I was like, yeah, that's bad. That's a sign. Right. I don't know what the sign is, but it's a sign of nothing good.
No, it's not great. And I just think she has a lot of darkness. And also something that, I don't know how to say this. This is not great, but you know, she always struggles with, I want her to appreciate her body. It makes me so sad that she can't just like live in who she is. Like, we all should, it's easier said than done. Of course, we all go through our things, but in the end, like, you will always look back on certain times and be like, I wish I was like that again. Like, just live in the moment that you're in right now, because like, you're in it, and like, appreciate the skin you're in. And take care of yourself, because like, you are the body that's living in this moment. And I hate to see her look back on things with such disdain, but like physically, you know, like she's just always just like physically looking back on herself being like, I wish I was that thin again. And it's like, we'll just live in this. But one thing I will say is like weight fluctuating and her issues with alcohol, I don't think are disconnected, I guess. Like alcohol is caloric. I think she is like downing a lot of it behind the scenes and like maybe isn't eating and then like calling her friends. And it's like, well, that there's a reason that you are fighting to get like weight off. Like, I think there's just darkness we're not seeing when the cameras aren't on, you know? And I feel like the second alcohol is removed, she's going to look like a whole amazing, beautiful human being, because like that might have been the key to like setting her free from like and this depression.
She's
spiral.
So beautiful. I met her in person.
Oh, I forgot about that.
She came to see Elf when I was doing the tour, and she came backstage. She was married to David. She came backstage with her three daughters, and she was like vivacious. Like, mm-hmm. She was like a presence. I have chills right now. She was a presence, and she also was incredibly complimentary and curious. Like, not, you know, when you see like the best versions of Shannon, like when she's like there for a friend, she feels grounded. She looks left and right. She's very uncomfortable around the women. She mm-hmm. wants to have this like status about her. She was so cool, and she was beautiful. She is beautiful. And it's so sad that, I mean, you know, we're not in her relationship or, you know, her ex relationship, but it's so sad to me that, she clearly is fighting some demons right now.
Yeah.
And she's a successful, surviving woman. Like, she raised those three girls. Like,
and
she started
gone
her own
through
company.
A lot. Yeah.
I know that, like, you know, we the viewers don't know at all, but we the viewers look at Shannon and we're like, you're so amazing. And you can just see in her eyes, she doesn't feel that.
I know. You're right. That is sad. And everyone really is. There are people on these shows that no one's rooting for, like Jen Shaw. Like, everyone was thrilled when they saw Jen, I think, thought that everyone would be upset to see her go behind bars, and not a soul cared, because like that's a criminal, you know? But there are... what?
I don't disagree with you. I will say the biggest heartbreaking thing for me was she has a son who was 16, 17 years old, who like, there's no getting around that. Like, a 7-year-old, you can kind of fake like mommy's going away for a bit, she has to like figure some stuff out, right. A 16-17 year old who's so in the know, that really broke my heart. And she should be behind bars. It's just the entire that part ruined me for some reason.
Right. I understand that side of it, but she has to live with that, not us. Like, she needs to live with making those decisions with that on the line, you know? Like, she...
I don't feel for
that.
Her. I just feel for her son.
Of course.
Like,
I feel
you know
for
what I mean?
Totally. I agree.
And,
I feel
and
for
coach.
Her too.
And coach. Like, I...
Yeah, but don't you think, like, did coach know anything? Like, did he know stuff? Like, how do you not know anything? Your wife is in federal...
Listen, honey... Being a coach is all about making plays, and I wouldn't be surprised if the best coach in the world unfortunately made a few bad plays.
Not you making sports references.
Dan Hutt.
Well, yeah, Spencer, honey. You haven't been on since I have the soundboard, but we can utilize it here. I was going to say use this after you did that.
Wow.
Could you hear that?
I love that.
When you started referencing sports.
Wow.
you know what was wow for me? Did you listen to Tamara find out about Shannon on her podcast?
Okay, yeah. So for those that don't know, Tamara on her podcast with Teddy Mellencamp. Pause for laughs. Teddy, I can't handle... Like, why did Teddy ask her about it on the podcast when Teddy herself won't talk about anything that's going on with Kyle? Like, Teddy on the podcast won't talk about how her best friend is getting a divorce. Is she or not? Is she or is she not with a woman? Did he cheat? There's all this going on. But the second her podcast partner comes on and is like, Tamara, we got to talk about it. Your best friend, like, ran into a house. Like, that's just kind of annoying to me that Tamara had to address it on there. I'm not even like a Tamra defender. I think that it was too early to like have any conversations about it, but she did. And Tamra said that Shannon and her had a meeting on Sunday, the morning after the incident, and Shannon didn't tell her that she, like, Tamra found out in the press, essentially.
I will say in response to that, I think there was two things happening. I think one, Tamra and Teddy knew about Shannon, and they plotted that for this podcast, they were going to pretend that Tamra found out on the podcast, and it was going to be this riveting, explosive podcast, which it was. I think that, or I do think that Tamara's beat work was so strong. Like, I do think that, like,
not her beat work.
And for anyone that doesn't know what I'm talking about, like, the acting work, like, it actually felt so honest that there was a very high chance that she did find out via her cell phone while she was recording. And Teddy, being a good podcast host, in the moment, like, it was right there, like, this was the moment Teddy started asking questions. I think that it's a little different because this is like, what do you think of this DUI? What do you think of this hit and run? Did you know anything? Mm-hmm. That felt a little more in the moment than the whole Kyle thing. I also think, this is controversial of me to say, Tamara's not scared of Shannon. Tamra, that is Tamara's show. Tamra is the orange. Right. Where Teddy, I think, is not scared of Kyle, but I think Kyle has power in Beverly Hills.
You're right. And Teddy also would, I mean, Teddy would love to be back on reality television tomorrow.
I would not be shocked if in two seasons she's back, but I would rather see Brandy back before her.
Well, I totally agree. And there's a whole list of other people. I'd honestly rather see Lisa Vanderpump back before her.
Lisa's never done anything for me.
We recently watched the first episode of Beverly Hills a couple weeks ago, and I forgot how much I loved her in the early era of her, which we'll never get back because she's transformed into something else now. But yeah, I don't know. But to wrap up the Shannon stuff, we do send our love to the Bedore family. And I guess she's apparently going to a rehab facility to get treatment for whatever she is going through. And I hope she just realizes that people support her and people aren't anti her. Although what she did was deplorable. I don't think anyone, there's just no excuse anymore for driving under any sort of influence, when, especially if you were wealthy. I mean, like, you have access to ride shares, like, always use a ride share. And if you can't afford that, like, call a friend. Like, it's just not worth it. Like, Kix and I have been directly affected by drunk drivers, like, killing a friend of ours when we were kids. Like, it is not something that makes any sense to me, why you would just, even I've had like a drink and got and had to be like the person who drove people home, and that scared me, and that was legal, but like I was like freaking out about it.
Yep. It's also something that I feel strongly about, and I would say Shannon's like one of my favorite housewives, like, mm-hmm. in like my top 10. I think that she's phenomenal at her job. I think she knows exactly how to do it. But I also
it has
think
no
that
relation
reality...
to the fact that you met her, right? And that she was nice to you.
Maybe there's a little bit of that. I mean, course. I also met Erica Jane backstage at Chicago, and like that completely transformed how I felt about Erica because
I was with you. Remember?
Oh, I forgot about that. Oops. Wow. That was in Monument. Have you ever talked about that on the podcast? How, like,
I don't,
kind of special that was?
You know, we may have, but I don't think I... So Spencer forgot, but, I mean, Spencer, me, and two of our other friends, Dan and Bradley, all went to go see Erica in Chicago. You and Eitan went separately than us, I think is probably where you forgot about that. Forgot that I was there, too. No, we all went to see her. It was her first performance, and this was prior to, you know, all of her legal
everything.
Stuff. And gotta say, I mean, she had one, there was only one thing that was a little bit of kind of a miss for me, which is like, and it was also her first time doing it, which was the ending number. What's the ending number called? where they
hot
go
honey out. Rag.
Yeah, hot honey rag. She just, it's hard to see her next to whoever was Velma, who she was like a vet at being Velma, like do like tricks. It's like she can't compete with that. Like they should have like edited a, so, like she did a cartwheel and everyone like gave her a standing O. So like so like I think that that was the only part where I was like a little nervous, but in terms of her stage presence, singing the songs, she was captivating and she killed it. I mean, it was electric.
She killed it. But what was more electric, guys, is that we went backstage and like there were a couple of people, there was a ton of people at the stage door, but we went backstage and we just like went on stage and then like all of a sudden there was just like nobody in the theater. And then it was like the five of us on stage, we're like, all right, we should probably go back out and go home. And Erika Jayne just walks out in sweatpants with her assistant and she's like, oh, hey guys. She's yeah. like, I don't think I know you. And she's just like talking to us about like how she like, she was, it felt like I was talking to a little 5-year-old girl about her dreams. It was so authentic.
It was.
And
you're
she
right.
was so She was so cool. Like she was just like, she was talking to us as if we were old pals. I like people like that. And she's that way on the show also. That's why I'm a big Erika Jayne fan. I get it. There's a lot there. She is who she is. And she's a special person.
I block out in my brain how nice she was to us. I completely forgot about that. She really was.
I
so
will
kind.
Never forget that. Yeah. I will never, ever, ever forget that. Anyway, we do wish Shannon Bedore and her family all the best. And I, something that I just want to say before we close on this topic is like, there's a lot going around. Like, oh, I guess Gina secured next year's contract because now there's like blah, blah, blah. And I think that's so disgusting. It like, I think disgusting. It's just like a little, you know what I mean? It's like too soon.
I agree. Also, Gina, I can't even give, we should just talk about OC now, but yeah, Gina, sure. I can't even give energy to, cause she, I find her just so unwatchable. Do you find her unwatchable? I mean, she is from your home state of Long Island, but.
You know what? I feel like, and challenge me on this. I feel like people's mindset on Gina switched when she went through the divorce mm-hmm. and then she wasn't living this luxurious life. I think that people were like, okay. And I think that she was interesting being this young new girl with long hair who met Tamara. God knows wherever these women meet Tamara, at the gym or something. And I think that she had, I think that people thought that she had status almost. I happen to like Gina. Mm-hmm. I think that this season she was, I loved how she kind of was like, fuck you, Heather. And she was like, you need to be a better friend. She did not placate. She did not kiss up. I actually thought Gina had a pretty good season.
Okay, but in my mind, the Heather stuff felt deeply manufactured. Like, I felt like Gina created a barrier with them that, like, didn't exist just because, like, she... It just... I believed Heather's side of all of everything going on more than Gina's. And I have always been kind of a Heather fan, so maybe I'm a little biased, but... And I find Heather annoying as well, but, like... I just thought that kind of her being like, I didn't invite you to XYZ because I thought it was beneath you. And it's like, Heather's like, remember like at the beginning of the season, she was like, I haven't heard from you. And she's like, well, I did this, this, and this, but like, I essentially didn't invite you because I thought that you wouldn't go. But it's like, you can't, that's like not fair to anyone. Like, I feel like I've had that happen in a friendship before where I'm like, well, you're not setting me up for success by like not like throwing me a bone here, you know?
I think what you're saying is like, did Gina feel like she had to come into this season guns ablaze? And did she feel like she had to set all these little things up? I also just want to say, this is important. What I was saying about why people, I feel like, change their mindset in Gina, I don't think that's okay. Like, I don't like, oh, I yeah. do think that some people were like, her lifestyle isn't it anymore, so now she's not it anymore, and I think that is wrong, and that's why I like Gina, because I feel like she's relatable, and I feel like, I don't know, there's just always been something about her that I loved that the fans don't love. I will say, the one thing about Heather, I agree with you, she is having a complicated season, but the one thing about Heather is she can be down. Like,
yeah,
I actually
she's
feel
down
like,
to clown. Like, she's down to have fun.
I feel like if Gina was like, okay, Ciara's gonna be in the Little Mermaid Junior at this little theater, this little community theater. I feel like Heather would be like, I'd be enchanted to go. Like,
yeah, I agree. She'd be like, I'll bring a flask of Fireball. Let's have fun.
Yeah, The champagne thing is it's like a little annoying now. Sure, like you're on a farm. Like, and you also, can't drink champagne in a farm.
Also, I don't know about you, but I don't know what your relationship is like with champagne, but I feel like after maybe like the age of like 27, it makes me want to fall asleep and then also simultaneously like vomit. Like, it gives me like heartburn. I'm sleepy. It's just like not an enjoyable experience.
I have no idea how she does it. I have no idea. Sorry, I'm laughing because I'm thinking about Emily Simpson at her event.
Yes, blackout, being like, how many more HDs do we need to have in the room?
I just want to say, you may want to like put this towards the front of this conversation. This is one of my favorite seasons of OC in a very long time.
I agree. It's been a blast.
It has been so much fun. The only thing that I think they made a mistake of is they should have kept Noella. They should have kept Noella on this franchise. I think that was a dumb move. I think she's one of the most complicated, interesting housewives we've had in a long time. She's a lot, but I would have loved to have seen her and Tamara on the same show this season.
I agree. I loved Noella. I didn't understand why people hated her so much. I mean, obviously she's annoying. She's a liar and like is crazy, but like, welcome to the show, babe. Like, I don't know what you thought we were watching. Well, but that's my point about Gina though, actually, is like, the relatability of it all, that doesn't bother me, but she's not funny. She doesn't bring anything to the table for me. Like, relatability isn't something to bring to the table for me. Like, if you're relatable, like, that's a fun aside. Like, Heather Gay, her being, like, a quote, she is, like, our quote-unquote relatable queen on Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. But that's not, like, her whole personality. Like, she is funny. Like, I do think she is funny. She annoys me as well, but, like, like, Gina doesn't really have anything else besides just being, like, the girl you would see at your local grocery store and Dunkin' Donuts.
Not Gina as the Dunkin' Donuts girl in the morning getting her caramel cookie.
I can see it. Like, extra. I'm sure she's downing that Ice Spice drink.
She looks amazing, by the way.
Who, Ice Spice or Gina?
Both. Both. I will say I would be upset if Vicky came back next. I mean, Vicky's coming back next season, right?
Yeah, I honestly think she has more fun, whether she likes it or not. I think she has more fun not being full time.
Vicky's kind of being a blast this season.
She literally, this is the woman who's so scared of anything sexual, in just 1 second revealed that she like gets happy ending massages.
But it's like the her and like the Ramona thing. Like they pick and choose and right. They blame it on because they're Catholic. Like, I'm a little over it. Sure. Can we actually get into Jen, new Jen?
Love new Jen. Do you love her? Wow.
I am obsessed with Jen. Obsessed. I was in the OC on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And
the night of the crash.
The night of the crash. And I was on like kind of like the famous boardwalk in Newport. And I really thought I saw Jen. And I don't really go up to I don't go up to celebrities or whatever, but mm-hmm. I honestly was gonna go up to her. It wasn't her, but I really thought it was. I think this is a very strong freshman year. I think she's vulnerable. I think that she's handling Tamara really well because Tamara is reaching.
She needs to.
Do you hear them?
Yeah, you're fine. She is reaching, and it is not fun to watch. Like, her bring her friend down, and Jen is so, she's so like, she can take it. She really can. And then when she finally snapped, she like gathered Tamara in 2 seconds. She like read her down. She was like, "Is it just because you need something to talk about because you're scared of being relevant?" And like, Tamara didn't know what to say at first. You could tell she was a little like, oh shit, you're actually like down to play here.
Tamara has ammo. She won. I thought it was really low that she brought out how Jen doesn't have money and is wearing fake clothes. Like, that's stuff where annoying. I'm like, you're really reaching, honey. And
also, Tamara has fakes, guys. There's no world in which Tamara's been on this show for 15 years. In the 15 years, you're telling me you have never been on camera in a fake? I would highly doubt that that's the case because OC is full of people with fake bags. That is like kind of to me what like Newport Beach aesthetic is.
yeah, it's a little like, babe, you're not the fashionista of the franchise. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, who is best dressed on the OC?
I mean, I think Heather is, because she just does classic. She just does her, like, classic beauty. Like, she doesn't, also Heather doesn't, I really appreciate people who don't do, like the Balenciaga, like, jackets with it just written all over it. I just find it a little gaudy. Like, Heather wears nice clothes, but it's, like, not, like, doesn't say, like Mugler all over it. She's just wearing a nice dress. To me, she's best dressed in the group. And she doesn't take too many risks. Like, sometimes the people who take the risks, it's, like, a little much, you know?
It's a little much. We'll talk about SLC. New York. We'll
or
talk about
New York.
I was in their interview looks, speaking of risks.
Sure.
I just, yeah, I feel like Jen is a little bit of a bulldog, which I love. And she's also incredibly well-spoken. So when she kind of eats Tamara, she like sounds good doing it. It's not messy. It's like intelligent. Yeah. I'm a big fan of her. And that is the kind of housewife where I'm like, no one's worried. You have a season two.
Oh, no one's stressed. She killed it this season. I love her. I do think that her man, Ryan, is frightening, and that their relationship will not be long for this world, but she kind of knows it.
She knows it, but also I kind of respect Ryan in a way where Ryan outwardly
respect
is like, yeah,
him?
I cheat. Okay, respect's the wrong word. I like people who are like, I'm fucked up, and I fuck up, and I'm okay fucking up, and they say it. Then I'm like, you know what? You're clean to me. Like, fine. Like, go okay. do your thing. That's not my business any further. But I do think that she can do better. And there's a story there. We don't know the full story.
Yeah.
So well, I understand why Tamara gets mad, but it's also like, Tamara, like, it's too obvious now. Like, enough.
It's too obvious. I totally agree. It broke my heart when Jen said in her confessional, like, I wish I was still married. Like, I wish that was something that worked for me. Like, it makes me sad that it didn't. And I was really annoyed with her mom, how her mom, like, put, like, a couple episodes ago when we met Jen's mom, and then Jen's mom met Ryan and everything. I was annoyed by the fact that Jen's mom kept putting it on. Obviously, Jen cheated, but she was putting it on her, being like, you kind of like mess this up. And it's like, well, sure, she did in the end mess it up by cheating, but it sounds like she was also with a man who like was deeply unloving and like wasn't a good partner to her. So like can't blame her for, yeah, of course you can't blame her for wanting something that feels like supportive, you know.
I love her so much. Do you know who the star of the season is though? Like, I'm thinking like maybe next year, first on the couch for the reunion.
Oh, Queen Emily.
Emily is
she's a superstar.
When I say laugh out, like, we'll get to Mary on Salt Lake City. That's a different kind of laugh out loud. I am laughing out loud with Emily Simpson this season.
I agree. I think she to me, I said this on an episode recently and someone was like shocked by it, but I was like, she's easily in my, like, the pantheon of like top 10 favorite housewives ever.
Oh, 100%. She's also like, and I feel like she does not get enough credit. Like, she's also one of the most beautiful housewives.
She is like movie star. Like, breathtakingly beautiful.
Breathtaking. And I just talk about someone who owns it. Also, her daughter is killing it as a model.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm like obsessed that like Emily is now a stage mom.
Yeah, she's not. I feel like she doesn't know how to be a stage mom. Really, I feel like she would be a funny stage mom.
It's also interesting with the OC. There's like a mother thing. Like, everyone's mother is featured. Like, there's a whole storyline with Emily's mom, that Emily's stepmom Perry, who I want to know more about. Do we think that they put a down payment on Shane and Emily's house?
1,000%. They're like they're like gazillionaires.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. There's a mother theme on the OC, which I like. We haven't seen Tamara's mom in a bit, which I think is interesting.
Uh-huh. I love Tamara's mom. She's a real backwoods country downtown girl.
I also think we need to always, like, Tamara's also amazing. Like, I'm also obsessed with Tamara.
She should never go anywhere. She annoys me, but she should never go anywhere.
She is amazing at her job. Tamara is someone I would love to go out with. Like, Tamara is so fun.
I agree. I think like camera's down. She's like that, but also probably really down to earth. Like, she seems pretty chill. Although, one thing about her that bothered me so much this week is, did you see her post that photo after the news came out about Shannon, of her, Vicky, and Shannon all hugging at a reunion? I'm like, Tamara, like, girl.
Yeah, I'm like,
this isn't your problem. Well, I know you love her, but she also did something bad. Like, I don't know that we need this right now.
It also was like, do you want... Oh, you froze. Hold on. Oh, you're back. You can see me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It also, it's like, Tamara, do you want people to comment? Like, we're here for you, Tamara. Like, why is it about you right now?
Right. It isn't about her. And then, but that's her thing. She inserts herself into people's situations, you know?
I just want to, because we talked about it. Can we get into New York?
Yes,
because
let's do it.
What do you think so far?
So I have like mixed thoughts. I hear a lot of people saying like they feel like it's like finally picking up and we're somewhere now. I actually kind of am not digging this vacay trip really, because it's a lot of, I want to know who their like producers are that are standing there with them, because everyone has like producers and talk to and guide them through like, go talk to that person, do this, do that. Like, the show is real, but it also is guided in a way, like, to make things happen. I don't care for like the constant like trauma bonding. It just doesn't make for like a good show to me. I think organically it's of course amazing to learn about everyone's backgrounds and stories, but you're on a vacation with what we're supposed to believe is like your good group of girlfriends, which clearly it isn't, because you're telling everyone like new things about your life that no one knew before. Like, that wouldn't be the case on like another show. So I don't know. I'm not disliking the journey. I'm loving Jessel. She's like my favorite breakout star for me. She just kind of like is the right level of delusion. And I think Jenna is great in her own kind of like fish out of water presence. And I love Uba. But the rest of them, I could do a recast on the other half of them.
I agree. It's funny. The last episode, I also was like, wow, I feel like we're really hammering into sadness on this show. And yeah. I think it's important that we get personal. But I'm a little bit, when I think of New York Housewives vacations, and I know this is different, I'm looking for the person who's going to get in the fight about the rooms, and then that's going to kind of loom over, and then more stuff's going to come from that. Instead, it's like comparing whose life was harder. And after a while, I'm kind of like, okay, I think Jessel is a star.
Superstar, yeah.
And I will defend her to the bone. I think she's genuine. I think she's funny, but doesn't know it. And I think she's interesting. I love her marriage. Her kids are cute. And I kind of love her interview looks. The new one.
The red? She looks stunning.
Stunning. She looks stunning. And I've also heard nice things about her, which is always also nice. I love Jenna. Jenna's interesting. She's very interesting as the season goes on.
She is. There are definitely... If they can keep her... I'm nervous about them being able to keep her on for another season, because I think as the show plays out, I can't imagine... Like, I find it weird that she hasn't been on Watch What Happens Live yet, and the season's, like, almost over. Like, they did the group Watch What Happens Live, but she is, like, I think maybe the only one who hasn't gone on by herself. And even though she was, like, kind of, like, the top billing, and... I wonder about how down she is to continue to do this show. I think she would be amazing on another season, especially if we threw into the mix like kind of like a more kooky presence, and seeing her can you imagine her handling like a Sonia or a Luann? And I'm not saying we need to go back to them, but I just mean like someone who is like truly like off their rocker. Like, I just want to see her communicate with people like that instead of communicating with people who go to the same restaurants as her.
I don't want to like compare her, like this house. I feel like Jessel is a little bit of a Sonia, Ramona, Luann like category for this season. And I think that Jenna handles Kuki really well. But she has been doing podcasts. I mean, she just did a podcast with I think maybe Danny Pellegrino.
She did. She's done a couple, but she was just with Evan Ross Katz. She did
Evan Ross Katz
his podcast, and I think he came out to like her house and they like sat and chatted for a while. I haven't listened to it yet. Did you listen to it?
I listened to a clip where he tells her that Bethany Frankel apparently says, "Oh, I have no idea who Jenna Lyons is,"
which is and I can't with. For, Bethany,
a lie.
Bethany, what happened? What happened? She is. She needs to be removed from the zeitgeist. Like, we need to take her out because her powers are getting too strong, and I worry that we're like almost entering like a Trump space.
I watch her run for president.
Oh, I could totally see it.
Jenna laughed. She was like, "Oh, that's funny." Like, she doesn't care, which I appreciate. I listen, and I hope it comes out on the reunion. Like, I feel like Bryn's going to bring it out. Erin is also fascinating to me. She is New York to me. Like, she is New York. I grew up with those girls, and I think Erin is like a down girl. Like, I like her. The Trump stuff is confusing to me. Her following Ron DeSantis is a little confusing to me. Like, there's just something off, and she's a little, like, she's all about, like, be real, be real, be real. I need her to be a little less protective of her image also.
I agree. But she really rubbed me the wrong way with her party. That I liked her until the party, and then the party made me jump ship on her because, first of all, no one wants to go to your cocktail party at 9 p.m. in FIDE and listen to 10 speeches, A. And then after that, have to listen to you recite vows to your husband. It's like, I don't care. I would love to celebrate you and just party with you, but I don't care, like, in that way. Like, I don't want to sit and listen to an hour-long presentation of your love between groups of people, especially when you guys are married. I'm not going to a wedding. I'm going to like a party at a bank in where no one goes in New York and FIDE.
Like, dude, you're 35 years old. Like, your marriage has been for like a second. Like,
right.
Can we chill? I will say what we did get out of that was her sister yelling at the housewives, and I thought that was pretty iconic.
Her sister is a terror, but I also would love more of her.
I could weirdly see, you're going to be like, no, Spencer, I could weirdly see, like, Leah McSweeney joining this cast.
Well, there's rumors that she's in the mix for casting for next season. But I kind of think, can't we just find someone that's better than Leah? Like, in the same realm as Leah, but better?
I know, but I think Leah is pretty good. I think she just had a really... I think it's just been rough for her. You need her around the right group of women. Bring Leah and her sister in, and bring in Aaron's sister, and that's a party.
I agree. Also, I mean, this is... This feels like a get, but she has said before that she would do it. Julia Fox would be amazing. Like, I think she doesn't have any sort of qualms on, like her appearance. Her aesthetic is chaos. Like, she loves to just cause, like, chaos and cause conversation. That I think she would be totally willing to, like, be like, Jessel, I kindly just want to remind you that you're a nobody. Like, I could see her saying that to her, you know?
I don't want to see it, and I can't pinpoint why.
Yeah, maybe she's too big. I understand her being maybe too much of a celeb to, like, it doesn't feel like authentic Housewives, which I see that. But I would pick her over Leah any day, to me.
I kindly respect your opinion.
Thank you.
I think she's a little too butterfly-ish for me on New York Housewives.
Yeah.
I'm Sai.
Sai, I think it's a one and done for me on Sai. I think she, I didn't trust Sai before the show aired because she tweeted, I've never watched these shows. What should I do for my tagline? Like, she said that, like, publicly. And I'm like, girl, well, I'm not feeling super stoked about you already. But I actually did kind of like her in the beginning. I liked her. She's down to, like, call people out. On paper, that works for me. But she, it's just not landing. Influencing is a real career, and it's something that I need to wrap my head around and get better about appreciating. I understand that. But, like, a woman of a certain... she's just, like, she's a 40-year-old woman in Brooklyn who's an influencer, but, like, I can't... I'm struggling to care about it. And maybe I'm bad about that, but...
I think, like, she had me hooked. She's drop-dead gorgeous.
Stunning.
She has unbelievable fashion sense. She has an incredible brownstone. She has a gorgeous family. Like, everything, I'm like, okay, yeah, on paper, great, 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 great. But I think that you nailed it. She just isn't landing. And she feels like she thinks she's better than everything. And it's kind of hard to watch. And, like, Jessel also kind of thinks she's better than other people, but Jessel is, like, charming.
I agree.
Jessel has a charm about her.
Yeah, I think we need to find another friend of Aaron's and find another friend of Jessel's, and Bryn. I think we have a cast. Well, Bryn, I think, can handle anyone, to be honest, and Uba too. Like, Uba can hang with anyone, but I want to keep Uba because I love Uba a lot, and I feel like she's almost been, like, a friend of this season in a way. Like, I feel like she's not as present because she had COVID for, like, approximately 5 weeks. But, you know,
now with the sunglasses, you know, she's gone into icon level.
For me, so I come with two sides of the sunglass thing. One, I'm very anti pushing people into pools. I think it's so, I don't think it's funny because people can, like, legitimately get hurt. And also, not everyone can swim. And not everyone... You don't know people's, like, swimming capabilities. I was with... And I don't know if you were with me. I was in a scenario where someone got pushed into a pool and they legit didn't know how to swim. And, like, they could, like, figure it out and get back. But it was, like, that, like, wasn't as funny as you thought it was going to be. Like, I can't swim. Like, I don't find pushing people into pools funny. So I wasn't team Uba on that, but I also am not team prank and don't think Aaron hiding a phone is funny either.
Here's the thing. If someone is upset, if someone is blatantly upset about something, I'm just going to be like, you know what? I'm really, really sorry. I didn't think it was going to hurt you that way. It was meant to be a joke. Done.
Yeah.
But Aaron loves to, like, it's funny. Erin said in an interview that she's the Kyle of this season. And yeah. I'm like, okay.
whatever you say, girl.
Erin loves to, like, latch onto any little thing and be like, what's a big deal? What's a big deal? What's a big deal? And instead of just, like, she's always looking for something. Mm-hmm. And Uba was pissed.
Yeah.
And she should have just been like, I'm sorry. And I wonder if the same way that Uba was treating Aaron, I wonder if Aaron was also mean girling right back, but the cameras weren't, or the editing just made it seem like Uba was shunning Aaron out, and maybe Uba just lost it on her.
Well, I also think Aaron is pulling a little bit of white fragility here and acting a little like she's showing her cards a little bit in the way that she's, like, so scared of Uba's, you know, presence. It's like, okay, girl, like, you raised your voice at all of them at that Christmas dinner, like, or Christmas wreath decorating thing, but no one called you, like, aggressive or, like, and she didn't use the word aggressive, but you could just tell she was like,
I think Erin was just not mindful whatsoever.
Yeah.
In that entire scenario and her interviews and everything, I think there probably needs to be a big discussion at the reunion, which I'm sure there will be. But I also, at the same time, I learned things about Uba. And in a way, even though I know that was a really difficult moment for Uba, I'm happy that the viewers got to, like, she talked about her family and, like, why it's important for her to have her phone. And, like, she made a lot of interesting points. And I don't know, I also love Uba, and I'm also team Uba here. Like, I'm also team Uba.
Well, can we wrap up on Salt Lake City? Because this was truly, in my mind, one of the funniest. I think I might just like rewatch it again, like this evening. Like, I was screaming laughing. Like, I haven't laughed this hard at television, like, in a minute. Like, cackling. Now, the ladies are bringing to me just a level of, this reminds me of like chaos at the Berkshires, like level Roni, where it's like all these factors, like all meeting in one space and it just chaos ensues. Them being trapped at, no, shout out to Trixie. It's a genius location for Housewives to film at because the motel only has 7 rooms or something like that. So like no one else can be there. So they just have the run of like the whole place. So we're already under like it is like the Berkshires. It's like we're already under a pressure cooker of like one space together. These women, none of them like each other at all, really. And Mary Cosby is the funniest fucking person I think we've had on these shows in a very long time.
That was one of the best episodes of Housewives in general of the franchise. Yes. That was peak. That is exactly what you want to see on a Housewives show. That episode was amazing. I watched it twice. Let's start with Mary Cosby. First of all, listen, it's layered beyond. She is impossible not to watch. I think she is a star. That's actually what she is. I actually think like, and she kind of says it her first season. She's like, she calls herself God, right?
Yeah.
We can laugh. She is a born star.
She is.
She's quick. Mm-hmm. I actually find her very smart. And I think that she catches on and like sniffs very, very, very fast. She's wiser than a lot of the other girls on her season. And I think that's why she's so standoffish, because she's like, oh, they're beneath me. She is absolutely hysterical. Mm-hmm. Her side hugging Angie and then cutting to the interview going, who's Angie? is so amazing. Her saying to herself in her room, Heather has a big mouth.
Has a big mouth.
So funny. Whitney saying, do you want to play a game? And everyone being like, yeah. And her going, no.
Or also, what about when she gets her like little like grilled chicken Caesar wrap and walks around the pool, and Angie's just being nice. Angie's done nothing. She's just being nice. She's literally just like, hey girl, hey Mary, come over here and sit with me. And she goes, I will not. I also really don't like the way you're talking to me. Please stop.
She is. It's unhinged.
It's like, crazy.
It is unhinged behavior. Her being like, you called me pornography is like a crazy, like how you go from predator to porn. Like, it just, she is not, there's so many pieces missing, Tom.
I know.
She ups the season. She levels up the season.
She does. She does. I love her so much. Now, I added to the soundboard something that she said. Now, this was my sleeper hilarious moment of the ep. I could not wrap my mind around why she is upset. She loves this new girl, Monica. And I love Monica too. I get it. Like, Monica, to me, breakout star. Amazing. Genius casting. Like, and she's also so good for the show. She is a perfect cast member to me. First, I loved when they went shopping and she was like, Mary said to Monica, she goes, I'm not gonna let you pick out my outfit because like I don't trust your taste. I'll pick out your outfit and mine. And Monica is just like, okay, let's go. And I think Mary appreciates that she just like goes with whatever Mary wants to do, because Mary kind of starts like, she kind of dies for her as the episode goes on, because they play that god-awful game where they have to share something that no one knew about them. And every single person being like, Meredith goes, you know, something about me is I've been here before. And then like, Heather was like, and I love birds. And then Monica says, you know, I fucked my brother-in-law. And the whole table is like, tell me more, tell me more. And at the very end, like, there's a lull in the conversation, and Mary says this.
Okay, cheers to that.
Okay, cheers to that.
I think that Mary likes women who will a little bit coddle to her. Mm-hmm. And I think Monica, listen, it's clear that Monica was a fan before the show.
100%.
I don't have an issue when housewives come on and they watch the show. I don't know why it was like a topic. It's like, you all watch the show. Like, you all wanted this. And I think that Monica knows how to cater. Mm-hmm. And I think also she's being herself, but I think also she knows how to play the game already. The whole Angie K thing in her, I was like, I'm okay with it. I like Angie K a lot. I'm actually like an Angie K fan.
I like her too. I think she's down to, you know, be in the mix. She's down to like cause drama.
She was messy, Tom, at that table.
Okay, now, here's my thing. I still can't quite understand why Meredith was so mad at her. Like, what is the core of her anger towards this woman? What is it? I don't really understand.
So, okay. I think that Meredith came on the show and she was like, I'm going to make up with Lisa. And I think a little bit, and I like Meredith a lot, but I think a little bit of Meredith was like, all right, I'll take it up with Angie K. And I think Angie K, I don't know where this happened, and Angie K didn't seem to know either. Meredith was like, you publicly said, I don't remember any of this, but there must have been something. I don't know. Part of me thinks it's all fake, almost as fake as clearly Whitney and Angie K talked about before the dinner. How are we going to stir it up, and how are we going to bring up that you weren't invited?
1,000%. Yeah. And Angie sat right across from Meredith. I think, honestly, Meredith should be more mad at Whitney. I mean, Whitney did such a shady move in bringing someone to the vacation.
I know, but that's where Whitney's a great housewife. And right, even just she's Whitney, great.
Yeah.
Even Whitney saying to Lisa Barlow, like, yeah, I just was like, oh my God, you should totally be my plus one. As if you just get plus ones on trips.
That doesn't happen. Not at all. And I also loved when... perfect housewifery when Whitney, and I think it was last episode, she was like, you know, I'm going to bring Angie because we're building bridges, but to build a bridge, you have to burn the old one down. So she's going to burn it down for us, and then we're going to build a new one by the end. I'm like, I don't think that is kind of the phrase, but I like the way you think for my reality show.
There's no way that you can't love Whitney. She just has something about her. But she is a witch. She's always in the cauldron.
she's a witch. She's
always fucking stirring it. But I like die for her. And I also just, I'm sorry, I love a housewife from a conservative city who is a LGBTQ+ ally.
I love Whitney, and Whitney's a friend of the pod. So I'm not talking shit on her. I think she's amazing. Like, I think she's a great presence here.
But she knows how to be messy and she's good at it.
Yeah.
I also, okay. You can't not like Lisa Barlow also.
Oh, I love Lisa Barlow.
But her saying, what was her thing? Her thing that nobody knows. It was like, I gotta.
Oh, what was it? Oh, no. What was it?
She just got her second piercing in her ear.
Oh, she goes, guys, okay, the thing that no one knows about me is that I just went to Claire's and got new piercings.
And everyone's like, oh my God, Lisa, that's so crazy. I will say, I liked Monica's, first of all, warm and fuzzy and prickly and whatever is a great game. And I want it to be done on more Housewives.
We cannot play that game.
Well, no, we would never be friends again. But like,
you and I could play the game, but I think our friend group wouldn't survive it.
Yeah, you and I would like have fun with it. I wouldn't like take offense.
No. We would have fun.
I liked what Monica said to Lisa. I think it was important. I think that it was, that's where I'm like, Monica's relatable. Mm-hmm. I know that we don't love when Spencer says that a housewife is relatable, but like,
I didn't say that. Monica's a good example of a relatable housewife that I enjoy. It doesn't, because she's not leading with that, because she's also funny and has like a wonderful presence on camera and like knows how to own her space and has like a captivating story. Gina just doesn't have
those things. I was proud of Lisa because Lisa was, well, I was proud of her until Lisa cut to her interview and she,
well, Lisa, Monica. Lisa goes, Monica, if you had $60,000, you too would be upset about a ring or like something like that. I was like, okay, well, Lisa, girl, okay. Like, that's not really like the point, but
Do we think Lisa's that rich?
I think she, yeah, I think she has a lot of money. I don't, to me, she's someone who, cameras down, she's not like spending a shit ton of money. And I feel like she's just like kept her money well, has invested in things that like make sense for her. I think her liquor business isn't big enough where she's losing money. It's like the right size where she's making money off of it. She has other business ventures too. Like I think that there's a lot. I think she's just good with her coin.
She's another example of on Housewives. I think it's never are people like, oh my God, they're so smart. She's another example. She's very, I think that she's very smart. Similar to Mary. I think she's very smart. Mm-hmm. Like there's a couple of Housewives where you're like, they are smart, but we're not thinking about that, but that's interesting, Tom. That's interesting. I agree with you. Like it's a great season so far.
It's great. And I loathed last season. I could barely finish it because it was so angry and I didn't care about Jen at all. And it was just a lot. So I'm happy Jen's gone. We still have kind of like the ghost of her in the corner via Monica. But we must speak about Meredith's, you know, breakdown, if we want to call that. So, and this is no judgment because I partake in other things besides just alcohol and have dabbled in a lot in the past. But what do you think is, because to me, the nastiness, the rumors, the like that to me does not read like she just had like one too many martinis. Like, is there like a Zanny involved? Like, what's happening?
So the breakdown shocked all of us, including Mary.
Mary is never shocked. And she was like, oh, she should not have had that last drink.
Here's why I think Meredith was just drinking. Here's why. Twice earlier in the episode, she mentioned she's a lot of stuff going on. There's things that are happening in her world, in the world, and she doesn't care to get into it with Angie K. I actually think that she probably was trying so hard all day not to lose it. Don't lose it. And then she had cocktails. And then I think that, listen, what's the first thing that people go for when they want to get a rise out of Meredith? Her family and her lifestyle. And I think that Angie K pushed the right buttons.
Yeah.
She said awful things, even though Whitney already said it in an interview.
She did,
and I
yes.
think that she just lost it. And she may have already come into the trip feeling really trembly. It was, but also we've seen Meredith act this way.
I know. It wasn't surprising, I guess. It was just like wild. And then that poor waiter, just security. And
security. That's what she was saying.
And then Chad comes over and she's like, that woman needs to leave my dinner. And he said, he's a king. I love him. I found him on Instagram. His name is not Chad. They put Chad there because I think to protect his identity, but he's very easy to find on Instagram because I literally just went to like, I wanted to see more about this restaurant. Like, I want to go there. I've never been to Palm Springs.
Yeah.
And he was like front, the first post on the restaurant's page. So I found him, but his name's not Chad. They hid him on the show, but the way he responded to her and just being like, it's like a classic waiter thing to say. I'll do what I can.
I'll do what I can. I also like the moment. By the way, Palm Springs is so much fun. I went last summer and it is just, it was 107 degrees, but you don't feel it because there's no humidity.
Right.
But it is, every restaurant is chic. It's just like a cool vibe there. And so I honestly feel bad for the people eating at that restaurant because it's such a good vibe place. I also love that Meredith became British. And
sure.
Heather was making me laugh. Heather.
Now, I don't know about you. What is your, you like an espresso martini like I do, but I struggle. So my issue with them is I struggle with like the timing of them. Because so you very smartly had at your wedding had like espresso martinis made like at the end of the night, which I typically don't go for at the end of the night because like after dinner, I sometimes just want to go home. But in that instance, we're like out and about, like let's go. And those were really good. Your wedding made great martinis across the board, which I know was a must have for you when finding a venue.
I'm not gonna host a wedding with bad martinis.
I will say the summer camp didn't have martinis. well, to no one's surprise.
You're hot. You're at a summer camp.
No, I know. I know. I'm bringing
that's
it
like
back.
Jungle Juice.
Yeah, right, right. No, but the for me, an espresso martini cannot be that like milky color that she was drinking. Like she was drinking, it was like a. It clearly had like a lot of like Baileys or something in it. I like it when it's like that, like black, like dark, dark. It's the only sweetness is from either Kahlua or like a simple syrup, but it's not sweet from like cream and liqueurs. That I can't do that.
Who asked? There's a housewife in the past 2 weeks that asked on an episode if they could have an espresso martini, just espresso and just vodka. Do you remember who that was?
No, it was on. No. It wasn't on that. It was. Are you watching Selling the OC?
Oh.
Yeah, because I just watched that episode because I had been behind and I just caught up. And yeah, what's her? I forget her name. She was like, I'll have, no, not vodka. She said, I'll have an espresso martini with tequila, but just tequila and just espresso. Like, no. So she did it with tequila. It was also the other mix in there that was like confusing to me. So she just essentially
It was Kayla.
A shot of tequila, a shot of espresso, ice shaken and poured into a glass. I mean, that sounds disgusting to me, but.
You know who reminds me of each other? Alex Hall and Aaron from New York.
Very much, yes. And I love both of them.
Yes. yeah, Heather, it was just maybe just a little too much sugar for Heather.
Yeah, it was a lot.
I will say this is really bad, and I'm gonna laugh because I know that Heather and Whitney are totally fine. Whitney running off the bus, like crying and coughing.
Like, it was so funny. She's like, I need to get out of here. I don't have do you have like that where like if someone's vomiting, I don't get like sympathy vomit. Do you get like that?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I would be fine, but I understand why like seeing your friend vomit. Now she's peeing too, right? Like, what is the fluid coming out between her legs?
No, I think I watched that too. I think that she
she's vomiting in the bag. There's a second fluid, whether she's spilled something or it's her urine. There's something.
I think that she probably missed it a little bit. It was liquid barf and it went onto the seat and it was falling off. That's what I thought.
Okay. See, in my mind, it was a piss and vom combo.
Yeah.
Which is so upsetting.
That is upsetting.
The idea that you just start to pee. I mean, you know, as she is a woman of a certain age, like I worry that that's in my future. I don't want to have like incontinence.
Do we know what's happening with her, you know, like the season starts and she's like in the Bahamas and
yeah, I have no clue. And I actually like that I have no clue. Like there's no like blogs writing about what Dumois is not covering what she's talking about. I think they kept it pretty tight-lipped. I don't know what it is. What do you think it is?
I just don't want it to, I don't want it to be another like black eye thing.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's more real than that.
The only thing I wonder is if it has to do with Monica.
That's what a lot of people had said over the past couple of weeks, like from our listeners and people on the pod said that they thought it sounded like because she kept being like, she's the one that did this, this, and this. But I feel like they all know that Monica is the, oh, I guess they don't know though, actually. She said that to the audience she says that in her interview that she was the one that, you know, leaked, that like was the informant essentially. But she has not revealed that, I guess, to everyone there.
Right. I'm wondering if that's going to be like a big episode or maybe they just all consciously know. I don't know. Sometimes on Housewives also, like, sometimes they don't cover everything and it's things that we want to see, but they just don't cover it.
Yeah. Although that's pretty big. I feel like they would have covered that if it, like, had already come out. I really had not thought about that. That they don't know that we know that she was the informant. It's like we're watching like a Scorsese film.
Do you think that Mary knew that Trixie was a drag queen?
I don't think she knows what a drag queen is. Well, because one thing that came out about the show while they were filming was there was a photo of Mary sitting in that Sprinter van while the rest of them are at a gay bar and she refused to go in. I think that happens next week. Because they all get in drag and go out. And I think she refuses to go into the gay bars. She just sits in the van the whole time.
But Tom, this is where it's like, Why aren't we? We're not offended. Like, we think that's funny.
No, I don't. I'm not offended at all. Like, I can't explain.
Have we just radically accepted that she's probably doesn't support the community? Like, no, but we're just like, cool.
Because she is so far removed from this universe that you can kind of point and laugh at it. Like, she doesn't understand social media. She's not like going around on podcasts being like, yeah, I hate gays. Like, she's just kind of living her life, and I'm okay with that.
She doesn't even go on podcasts.
No, she doesn't, which I like. I wish none of them went on podcasts.
Does she still have her church?
She does. But do you remember the beginning of season two? She was like, I'm starting a podcast, and then like her mics were like not plugged in and the podcast never came out.
Her calling the Trixie Motel.
Yes. And her saying, do you have Dom?
Dom Perrier or whatever. And then her
not Dom
being
Perrier.
Like, being like, pizza?
Yeah, I know.
I really hope that the women know they need her on the show for viewership.
They do.
And I hope that they don't do something where they corner her so she won't come to the reunion, because if she doesn't come to the reunion again, she's off.
No, I think they understand now that she is needed. Because in the promo for the show, they did like an Instagram post about all of them being like, Mary's back. Or like them being like, what's your favorite Mary moment? Like, I think that they legitimately are down to hang out with her because she makes for good TV.
Are we talking about, can we bring up Beverly Hills, or would you rather not?
We can talk about whatever. We've covered all that's really on, but Beverly Hills, well, not Southern Charm, but I don't know if you watched that or not, but.
I don't watch it. I feel like I would love it.
You would, yeah. I mean, it's not great, but it's like, I find it easier to watch than Summer House, and I really like Summer House, but like, it goes down easier for me than Summer House. Well, that's
I need
dark.
To finish Summer House. I'm really behind on Summer House. I got up. It doesn't even actually matter. I'm just really, really, really behind.
You don't need to catch up. There's nothing really happening. Well,
I want to see Danielle versus Lindsay.
Sure. It's not as gratifying as you want it to be. Because Danielle acts... Because you want to be Team Danielle, because her point... This is my whole issue with the whole Lindsay Carl thing. Danielle's point of view on their relationship was that it feels fast. Like, can we just take a second? Which... I think everyone felt, and including myself. I mean, I don't know these people, but like, that was my point of view on it. Was like, I like both of them. This is cool that they decided to be together, but why are we like doing everything so quickly? The problem is Danielle's delivery of it was insane, and she comes across like she is the person when there's a wedding that puts herself in the center of it, like when the day's not about her. And so she instead like is sobbing at the engagement party and like telling her that like it's just crazy. Like, and it's like, girl, your delivery is awful here, but like, I understand what you're trying to say, but sometimes you also just gotta let your friends do what they do.
Okay. Then maybe I'm not gonna go back and watch.
It's just not as fun as it looks to be fun drama. It's kind of like heartbreaking and messy.
Okay, that makes me sad. But they're both back for this next season.
Yeah,
so.
And then Lindsay just posted on Instagram, like right before we started recording, of her in her wedding, one of her wedding outfits at the resort. She like went, because the wedding, I think, was supposed to be tomorrow. She's there.
She's a star.
She's a star. I love her so much. Beverly Hills, what did you want to say about Beverly Hills?
I'm really hope it's a good season. I'm like a little, I've heard interesting things. I'm really excited for this new housewife. Apparently the cameras went back up with the whole Kyle Mauricio thing. I'm excited for that. But how do you ever top that Denise Richards season? And I feel like now that Erica's drama has like subsided, I'm worried for the ladies a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to have a lot. I'm hoping to be surprised, because Sutton and Garcelle know how to bring drama and talk about things on camera. So I'm like, I'm kind of excited. I'm not really, I don't know. I'm more excited to hear what's going to go down in Potomac, and I heard there was tons of drama in Dubai, actually. I heard that somewhere, which I didn't even really care for season one, but I heard season two is like crazy. So I don't know. Beverly Hills, I haven't thought about too much, but maybe they'll surprise us and it'll be surprisingly captivating.
When does Potomac come back?
Probably sometime in, I think November-ish. Oh, the show I'm most excited for, which I don't think you watch, is Married to Medicine.
I don't watch Married to Medicine. And
that's what you need to put your energy into.
What season should I start at?
One is good. Okay. Like, very rarely are, like, season one's good. And the cool thing about Married to Medicine that works so well for them is that the cast has pretty much remained the same for, like, 10 seasons. So they have, like, the drama never lets up because, like, they have, like, extensive familial drama with each other. And they all of their, like, husbands are all friends. So there's, like, real relationship drama. There is a season, I won't reveal who since you're going to watch it at some point. There's a season where a couple goes into the reunion and is like announces their divorce in the reunion and no one knew they were getting divorced. And by the end of the reunion, the whole cast gets them back together. Like through their just encouragement, like is like, you guys can't do this. And they like are still together to this day because of them. It's crazy. You watch the whole thing unfold. It's wild.
Oh, I'm really excited now. I'm always interested how, like on the Atlanta season, the season.
Woof.
like, who was... Oh, when she was going to... When she was getting all of her baby stuff, it was Dr. Jackie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Dr. Jackie. She's Married to Medicine.
I'm just curious, like, how are you on a reality show, but you still practice in a doc? Or, like, does she not really practice, but she was just brought in by the producers?
No, she really practices.
No, I bet that she practices. I'm just, like, isn't she worried that, like, fans are going to come to her office and, like, I'm, like, worried for people like that.
I'm sure that there's a very extensive... She's very famous, so I'm sure that it's not a... I don't think you can log on to ZocDoc and look up Jackie and she's there. Like, I think it's probably like you have to know someone who knows someone to get an appointment because she runs her own OBGYN facility. She doesn't like work out of a OBGYN company or out of a hospital. Like,
interesting.
I think she works with hospitals in terms of like when she's because she delivers the babies as well. So, of course, I think she'll work out of a hospital when it's time to deliver, but she runs her own like practice.
Okay.
But she goes through insane drama with her husband. Like insane drama.
She goes through what drama?
She has insane drama with her husband on the show. I won't like spoil it for you. But season one has like a blowout fight at the end that's so hilarious. You gotta watch it. It's amazing.
Okay, I'm gonna watch this. Thank you for explaining that. I'm just like even like Heather Dubrow's husband, Jen from Housewives, all these doctors, I'm like, I just don't get, like, aren't you nervous? But that makes sense. I guess there's like such a great
they're pros
amount of what you call it that prop whatever.
Yeah, no, there's pros. Oh yeah, it's okay. There's like a vetting process that they're not as available as they seem on the show, I don't think.
Okay, I think you're back. Yes, I a vetting process, thank you. Wow, Tom.
We covered so much.
A lot. And I do.
You did great. Guys, this has been a fabulous app. I mean, in the words of Mary.
Okay, cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
We talked about so much. So much happened.
I know.
Covered so much.
I wish we got to Atlanta.
I don't. It's okay. It's time to just like let them figure out what they need to figure out. All I'll say is the ending of the season was the best part. Watching that awful like interaction between Andy, Ralph, and Drew as she sang that song. Andy's face, he was like, I can't stop. Like Andy was making me cackle because he was like, this is crazy.
It was crazy. I have a feeling. Kenya is not going to come back. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling Kenya is not going to come back. I have a feeling Portia is going to come back.
Okay.
And I think Nene is going to come back.
I don't know about that. You think Nene? I don't think Kenya is going anywhere. Kenya is like a star to me. She's my favorite. So.
they really cut her off this season, though, and she knows it.
I know, but I think it was... I'm curious to see why that was, because I don't think Bravo dislikes her. I think there was just, like... I think there was more story with the other women, because, like, no one wanted to interact with Kenya, because, like, she's... doesn't want to hang out with them. Like, I think if Kenya was with a different group, there would be more involvement with her, you know? So, I don't know.
You're going to disagree with me. I want Courtney back.
I you texted me that, and I had to just, like, put my phone down, because I hate her.
I think they have no choice but to bring her back.
Spencer, they have many choices, and they shouldn't.
Okay, but then again, I'm gonna say this: you all shit on me when I first liked Sutton, and then you all figured it out.
This is not a Sutton situation. This woman faked being cousins with someone to get on a show.
Do you think it's fake?
Yeah, well, yeah, I totally think it's fake. I mean,
interesting.
Whether it's not fake, I don't know that I think it's fake. I think it's like they didn't know they were cousins until she saw this man on television and was like, "That's my cousin," I think. And then figured it out and was like, hey, I should be on the show because that's my cousin, you know?
Interesting.
Like, I think they didn't realize it until, like, approximately, like, 12 months ago, so.
Fair, Tom. Fair. Tom, great job. You're so good at your job.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind of you to call this a job.
It is a job.
I know. In my mind, it's just, like, a little side passion project, so.
No, this is what you're meant to be doing. You're meant to be in the chair, and you're incredibly charming and so good at what you do. It is a job.
Well, thank you. That's very nice. Well, Spencer, tell everyone where they can follow, listen to you, all watch your videos, all that stuff.
Yeah. You guys can, if you guys ever are in need of actor advice, a charming personality, a boy in a sweatshirt, you can come on to my TikTok, spencer.glass, and I'm also at Hi Spencer Glass on Instagram.
Yes, and thank you for being here, and say bye to the listeners. Bye.
Bye, listeners.
That's another ep in the books. Make sure to follow me at T-Tom Hamlet on Instagram. And you can follow Kix
at Kix Hamlet, that's spelled C-I-X. And make sure to follow the pod on IG at Dumpster Dive Pod, and on TikTok at Two Dumpster Divas.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us and all the pods you love on your favorite app of choice. And we will see y'all soon.
Bye. Bye.